You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, it's the 5 o'clock doubleheader dream team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always, I speak to Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. And joining him this week is Joanne Bainham from Sterling Private Wealth. Nick is in Johannesburg. Joanne is in Cape Town. I just want to tell the two of you about the idea I had for the show this evening. I was talking to another commentator this morning about why we've had, in the last 13, 14 months, the fastest bull market in the world, and that was preceded by the fastest bear market. But events overtook me. The first event was the fact that the US stock market has done so well, and we'll talk about that later on, with the retail sales in the United States going up by 9.8% and so on. But as I say, we'll talk about that later. But there were a couple of other events that really caught my eye. And I want to know from both of you if you want me to have a rant before we look at the markets or a rant after we look at the markets. What do you think? Joanne, you first.
Go for it, Lindsay.
Nick?
Rant away.
Okay, so it's a rant away. Good. All right. The first thing is a pair of shoes designed and worn by musician Kanye West that are going up for auction are the most valuable to appear on the market, the auction house selling them says. The Nike Air Yeezy prototypes have an estimate of $1 million. West first wore the shoes while performing at the Grammys in 2008. They are now being sold by shoe collector Ryan Chang through Sotheby's Auction House and will be on display in Hong Kong from Friday. Now, I don't know about you. I don't mind going to vintage shops, but there's two things I won't buy. Shoes, because they're stinky, and underwear, because it is stinky as well. Now, before I get to my next rant, I'd love to be able to swear now, but I can't on this podcast, of course. But Joanne, I'll go to you first on this one. A pair of shoes for $1 million. Come on.
That is utterly insane, but it's almost as insane as the other story recently about, I think it was also Nike shoes. There was blood in the shoes.
Yes.
And I think they're 666 or something on these shoes. And like, just, there's, markets aren't normal at the moment. I mean, obviously money's too cheap, because how can you explain $1 million for a pair of shoes that have all been worn? I mean, I get the appeal from somebody famous, but seriously, it's getting ridiculous.
Is he famous? I don't know. Nick, I can hear you sighing and thinking, I really wish I was in London at the moment in the old days and I could go down the pub and have a pint after having a really good day on the options market on whatever
exactly
market it was. But now we've got shoes selling for $1 million. Come on.
You know, there's a lot of early warning signs for bubbles over the last couple. I mean, we can start with the price of tulips back in the day, and we move on to things like skyscrapers going up, you know, and all the sort of early sign indicators. But the more and more and more that I see now of things like you've spoken about now is I'm sure we're hitting the sort of peak speculation. I mean, it's getting. But, you know, it's a quote by George Soros once, where he said he made most of his money in a bubble. You just got to be first out the door. So,
yeah, I mean, the truth is, Nick, everyone loves bubbles because they think they'd be clever enough to get out of them first. I mean, you know, just talking about crazy things that are happening at the moment, you guys will be watching Coinbase. I mean, this is a company that admittedly makes its money off trading in cryptocurrencies, which are clearly all the rage at the moment. But this company earned $1.8 billion in revenue. It's valuing itself at $86 billion, which is a 47 times price to sales ratio. Now, you're all going to tell me, oh, but what about the network effect? You know, you can explain the price of these things. Here's another stat for you. It's worth more than the valuation of the New York Stock Exchange. These things are getting completely and utterly ridiculous.
You know, it's getting getting near, as I said, I used that word peak speculation, and that there are more and more sort of warning signs that. But as you said, you know, money's cheap. You know, it's you've got 0% interest rates.
It's
Well, it almost puts an argument. You can understand why people are looking for something to retain their wealth, and all of a sudden that, you know, they think something like a Bitcoin or these cryptos are, at least maybe they think they're worth more than paper money at the moment, because money is worthless.
Well, they're certainly behaving that way. I mean, here's another stat for people listening in. Bitcoin today, to mine Bitcoin, uses more electricity than all the solar panels in the world combined. Now, for all those ESG people out there and the woke generation who want to save the planet, which is clearly a good thing to do, you've got to start wondering, does Bitcoin make sense if it's gobbling up all this electricity?
I've never understood that, Joanne, but the ESG, just because acronyms are peppering the show at the moment, NFT, for example, we'll come to that in a moment, but ESG means environmental, social and governance. But I understand exactly what you're saying. But talking about ESG, Coinbase, after its listing, is now worth an awful lot more than BP. And BP is another acronym, for British Petroleum, which is a fossil fuel-based company, which is trying to green itself up, but in almost an apologetic way. It's a very strange world, Joanne.
It is a very strange world, and I think it ultimately all comes down to monetary policy. You know, in terms of trying to save the world since 2008, we've gone out and printed so much money, and that money is now trying to find a home. Maybe markets are rational, bidding up the price of assets when money is worthless. I'm not sure. But, you know, we are living in proper bubble territory at the moment. The problem with bubbles, as George Soros says, you want to be in it, get out first. This can continue for a while still.
Mm.
You know, we don't know when this ends. That's the problem. But you certainly, from a client perspective, aren't going to be telling them to put all their money on black. It's just not going to happen at the moment.
Yeah, but the problem we've got, Jan, is we're living in as you said, a very strange world where you've got the central bankers around the world who are inflating this giant bubble with quantitative easing and the like, and all these different sort of monetary policy experiments and negative interest rates, etc. But in the same token, you've got them saying, I mean, Jay Powell was today and yesterday, he's been very vocal and he's been insisting rates are going nowhere fast. They're not going to raise rates for 2 or 3 years. But in the same breath, he says we're going to achieve pretty much full employment in America, and we're going to have full employment in America, and markets sitting at all-time highs, and we've got rates sitting at emergency levels as if we're in some sort of emergency. But that does create an environment for people who want to take risk. You're forced to take risky assets. It's an absolute sweet spot. I don't know if you saw the numbers today. Jobless numbers, absolute blowout. Retail sales, absolute blowout. So the economy is firing, and the central banks and the policymakers around the world have created this absolutely perfect sweet spot for risk assets. The question is, you know, when does it end?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we knew that, because we'd probably be seeing the Bahamas somewhere. We don't. But I think what we can say is that valuations on certain parts of the market are getting extreme.
Mm.
And if you're a long-term betting man, you're going to have to take some money off the table. You might still have some money invested, but to be 100% invested in these equity markets at these frothy valuations, you're playing for time. It's something's going to go wrong. We don't know when, but it will go wrong at some point.
It has to go wrong at some point. And just before I finish my rant, my non-swearing rant, this is this annoys me. An online sale of a single pixel as part of an NFT, which is a non-fungible token by the digital artist PAK, P-A-K, sold for $1.36 million at auction house Sotheby's, and that's £1.36 million, or $1.76 million. A non-fungible token is a form of blockchain-based digital asset. I can't believe I've just read that sentence. That has exploded in popularity in 2021, with prices soaring as collectors and enthusiasts rush to buy the items, which only exist in digital form. Now, I sent this piece to you both earlier on. It's a square. It's a grey square. You can't buy the grey square.
It's a nice colour of grey.
It's a lovely grey. It's like my hair. I mean, it looks absolutely fantastic. But unfortunately, you can only put it on your laptop or on your giant home cinema or something and show people, look. And they'll say, but it's a grey square. What did you pay for that? $12? No. I paid $1.5 million for it. What is going on? And Joanne, I know you don't like art, but this is unbelievable.
Well, I do like art, but that's another subject. Mm. But if you recall back in 2000, just back to Nick's point of earlier, there were these crazy things happening. We were getting signs that something wasn't right. You know, it took late 99 and then to early 2000. We were getting the warning signs. This is another warning sign that something's wrong in the world. Back to your shoe example, all this, all the kind of craze around cryptocurrencies, and there's no doubt there probably will be a cryptocurrency that makes sense in the future. None of us know which one. One of them will work. But the kind of complete mania around these things is part of being a bubble. We're in a bubble. We just don't know when it ends. I think that's what we're all debating here.
Yeah. I mean, you also, if you've seen the last couple of days with the U.S. banks reporting, if you look at the sort of the line items that are coming through, how much money that they're actually making on deals, investments, sort of listings, how many sort of look at all those SPACs that are coming to the market, the special acquisition, it's another acronym for you, Lindsay, all these SPACs coming to the market. I mean, these are vehicles that have nothing in them, that are coming to the market to promise that they're going to do something. And people are putting hundreds of millions of dollars into these vehicles that have no real game plan except a promise. Again, another warning sign.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there are plenty of warning signs out there. Same time as, you want to dance while the music's still playing. Mm. So this is the problem.
Look at today's numbers, Joe. I mean, they were literally, those retail sales numbers were off the charts.
Okay, well, let's talk about them. 9.8%. 9.8% increase for the month of March in the United States of America. That's a huge number. People are just...
It's a monster number.
Yeah,
monster.
It's pent-up demand. The thing is, Nick, though, and Joanne, is that... Is this just a blow-off because you haven't been able to go out too much and you just go out and spend and then you sit back and then you consolidate and say, okay, I've spent my money, I'm not going to do it. So the April and May and June numbers are going to be bad. Do you think that's going to happen or do you think there's more of a splurge to come?
Lindsay and Nick, are those year-on-year numbers or month-on-month? What are they comparing it to? That's the first thing.
No, that was the month. That was for the month of, what was it, the month last month?
So it's February,
for the month
of
May. March.
So March as of February.
Well, that's also the month that they paid out those $1,400 stimulus
checks.
Yes,
and at the same time, we've had record inflows into equity markets, same kind of concept. I mean, is it sustainable? There's no way it's sustainable. It might last a few months, but you can't continue running at those kind of levels. You just can't. I mean, at some point, normality will come back. I mean, I think some of the most fascinating stories I'm reading at the moment is that there's a labor shortage in the US at the moment because people are earning such an enormous amount of money from the government, they don't want to go and work.
Yeah.
You've got a real problem when that starts happening. You know, it's better for you to stay at home than to go and work because the government pays you more. But these are ultimately going to be problems. You can't continue an economy like that.
Let's have a look at the spot prices now to contextualize what we've just been saying, because the dollar rand is extraordinary. It's 14.18. Can you believe it? There's a 2.1% rally in the rand. And I was talking to another commentator this morning about that and the interest rate differential between us and the United States and looking at not just interest rates, but also inflation rates. And this is entirely justifiable. We've been used to, the 6% figure, which means the rand depreciates over time by 6%. Depreciates by about 6% over time against the US dollar. But look at the rand now, 14.18. It was 19.35 a year ago. British pound against the rand, 19.56. The euro rand is 16.98. Euro dollar is 119.65, which is a slightly weaker US dollar. British pound, the cable, it's 138. The gold price is not doing too badly, actually, with that slightly weaker dollar, 17.65. Up $17 an ounce. Platinum is doing very well indeed. In the last 24 hours, it's risen by $36 an ounce, 1203. It's another reason why the rand is doing so well, because of our exports. The palladium price is what, please, Nick Kunze?
Also shooting it outside, $60 higher. It is $2,734 per ounce.
Very good. West Texas crude is flat at $63.12 per barrel. Brent crude is just very slightly higher at $66.70 per barrel. Bitcoin, please, Nick.
Up on the day, coming off the boil a little bit, still 62,734.
Everyone wants the South African 10-year bond because it's 9.10 now.
And the US 10-year as well. Keep a look at that one.
Yeah, look at that. Let's have a quick look at that. So it's 9.10 on the South African 10-year, US 10-year. Oh, my goodness me. It's a 5% fall on the yield and a 5% rally, therefore, conversely, on the price of bonds, 155.
There's another thing that does not make sense. Why are bond yields coming in? Retail sales are shooting the lights out. Economy is flying. Markets are all-time high, and yet the yield is softening once again. There's so much that doesn't sort of
so
difficult
there is
to read the tea leaves
that,
at the
Nick.
Moment.
Mm. I mean, if you believe it, they're saying is everyone was massively short U.S. Treasuries. Mm. At currently 177, but then again, I've always been told the bond guys are the smart guys in the room. Mm. And so they're seeing something the equity guys aren't, because there's been a lot of euphoria around the sort of reflation trade, a lot of euphoria. I mean, you're seeing the retail sales numbers. They're brilliant. But are they saying how much more is there to go and how much of this has been priced in? And they're thinking about the next trade coming along. So maybe they're worried that it doesn't recover quite as quickly as the people think it does. Either they're right or someone's burning being shorted. I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. Nick, anything on the Stock Exchange News Service today? Because up until about 4 o'clock, there was absolutely nothing. What did you see?
No, nothing. Sorry to bore you. Really, it's been very, very quiet today. And as I say, most of the commentary about the US earnings that have been coming out. I mean, that Citibank numbers yesterday, and we had BlackRock today. I mean, I couldn't. Do you see the number of how much assets they've got under management?
Go on.
I haven't seen it.
$15 trillion. That's with a T. A T.
$15 trillion.
BlackRock. That's how much funds they manage across the board. You believe that number?
How can you possibly make money from $15 trillion? Because I mean, if someone says,
"We charge 0.5% management fee," I'll do okay.
Would you come to South Africa and buy Absa and say, "Well, I could buy Absa 100 times"? I mean,
$15 trillion, you could buy South Africa. Yeah.
You can buy the world with $15 trillion.
Extraordinary numbers, absolutely extraordinary numbers. Yeah.
Talking about Absa, on the top five major movers on the JSE Securities Exchange today, it's top of the list on my screen anyway. 3.7% higher. EPP is up 3.1%. Massmart is doing well, up 3%. Standard Bank, along with Absa, another South African bank, up 2.5%. And First Rand up 2.3%. Obviously, really reveling in the fact that the bond market and the Rand are both doing so well. On the downside,
I was going to say, you must also be loving this is the South African Reserve Bank and the Treasury. Mm. I mean, the bond yields where they are, given what problems we've got on the ground, they must be absolutely lapping us up there.
Yeah, but don't get too
I did see the SARB were saying that they don't want to raise rates anytime soon, which is quite interesting. So they don't normally say things like that, but then they also said the inflation has to stay under control. So that's quite a big caveat. Mm. But you know, the thing about the market, so Lindsay, so many people have been short SA domestic stocks. And with the currency doing what it's doing, it must be killing a lot of fund managers.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of people earning.
Yeah, I think they're forced to buy these things, even if they don't necessarily like them, just to try and hedge out their offshore exposure.
So what you're saying is that they've had...
JSE's return this year is actually one of the best in the world in dollars.
I think it is the best in the world, actually, in dollar terms.
If you're an investor, you'd be saying, well, let me start selling this stuff and moving it somewhere else. I mean, let's face it, at 14.18... it's probably not a bad entry point to get your money out of the country.
What is your attitude, both of you, towards that sort of analysis that you've just both sort of teased me with? Is it because they've been waiting for the market to come back and they've got all this money on the sidelines and they want to suddenly say, well, when it dips 5, 10, 15%, we're going to get in, and it's not dipping 5, 10, 15%. So they just get in and push it and push it and push it higher. And they suddenly... Again, it's an indication that maybe the market is topping. What do you think, either of you?
Well, I think, I mean, if we're talking about SA domestic stocks particularly, Lindsay, I think that's more of a switching trade going on. I don't think we're seeing a huge amount of new money going to the stock market in South Africa, unless Nick can tell me I'm wrong, and I probably am. But I think it's more of a switching. Like, I think there's probably a lot of fund managers in serious pain right now who, seeing their performance, completely underperform the JSE. And they're forced to buy all these assets. Remember, a lot of these domestic stocks are also highly liquid. So it doesn't take a lot to push them up. I don't think we're seeing a huge amount of new money coming to the market. I mean, I've interviewed a few discretionary fund managers recently, and they say all their sort of wealth managers, IFAs, despite the fact that JSE's done well this year, the clients, underlying clients, want to take more and more money out of the country.
All yeah, right. I would say... 5 years ago, my conversation with new clients was probably, 70% onshore, 30% offshore. Now, every single conversation I have is 70% offshore, 30% onshore. And that's despite how well our JSE is doing. People are just not interested. They just want to – maybe we're too close to it. I don't know. Maybe we're too close to the ground. Yeah, we think everything's, drive out of our road and we hit the pothole. And we think, and we watch Carte Blanche on the Sunday and you want to short the Rand on Monday morning. And maybe we are just a little bit too close to it. When actually, I'll tell you one thing, Jan, which South African local domestic shares do have, which they had with other places didn't, is they were cheap. Look, they were cheap for a reason, but South African shares 6 months ago were very cheap on the emerging market scale anyway.
But where are they now today, Nick, after the rally?
Well, they're not. They're probably fair value. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
look, the volumes, if you keep an eye on the volumes on the JSE as well, if you look at those weekly sort of JSE stats with foreign buyers and foreign sellers, certainly, as you said, there's not there's not a lot of money moving this market. That's for sure.
Yes, but on the other hand, Nick, I mean, the Rand has gone from 1935 to 1418. So although you only see 21, 22 billion here and there, the fact is, in dollar terms, that's significantly
Look, the Rand,
better.
The Rand has been, for the first time in a long time. I mean, there's a few things we talk about in South Africa so avidly around the Brian or Sunday, and it's like usually sport and it's usually the Rand. Everyone's got a view on the Rand. And most of it is usually negative. But the story around the Rand the last couple of weeks has actually been very good. Mm. You know, commodities are absolutely flying. We're sitting with the biggest sort of platinum deposits in the world. Those guys have been exporting nonstop throughout the whole lockdown. I think the shafts were shut down literally for 3 weeks, but they were allowed to continue operating. So we've been exporting platinum. Rhodium's at all-time high. Palladium is almost back to an all-time high. The miners are firing. We had the tax revenues better than expected. We've all been sitting at home in lockdown, not importing anything. We've been exporting more than importing. Our current account deficit is the best it's been in decades. I mean, I could go on. You know, it's actually not a bad story. And you wonder why the Rand is so strong. It's actually got a little bit of a positive tailwind behind it for the time being anyway.
And also the interest rate differential, which has narrowed significantly.
Yeah, of course, and the carry trade, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
A real rate of interest for return is really attractive.
Just before you, Joanne, you make your comments, I just want to go for the downside on the JSE today. I've got Santam down 5.7%. Nick is going to tell me a lot of these are ex-div. But anyway, Santam down 5.7%, Motors down 4.5%. Anglo-American Platinum down 3.7%, and I don't know what that one at the bottom is, but Montauk down 2.5%. Is Santam ex-dividend, why is it down, Nick?
I didn't see it going ex today, no, I didn't see it.
No, well, why is it down nearly 6% then?
No news flow on it.
Okay.
Let me just
have
a look here. No, I haven't
seen it. All right, Joanne, I interrupted you. What did you want to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to ask Nick, would he be long or short the Rand at these current levels?
There we go. Yeah, easy question.
Do you know, I've yet to meet one person who's ever got the Rand call right. I don't know if I want to be the one who gets it wrong again. I actually think the Rand's got a little bit of a tailwind. I think it's going to test 14 I think it's going to test 14 before it tests 1450. Let's put it that way.
Okay. It's not the bravest call, Nick. I mean, it's 1418.
So, dropping the Rand. Okay, the Rand's going firmer from here. It's not cool.
Okay, that's very good indeed. And we won't hold you to that. Nick, on that note, give us the closing JSE indices on a really, really good day for markets locally and internationally.
Yeah, it's not often you see the Rand 1.42% stronger against the dollar and the all shares actually slightly in the green on the upside. I mean, there's a rarity. So much for the Rand hedges. JSE all share finishing up just 2 pips on the day, 11 points at 67,823. Top 40 companies index was down. Oh, goodness me, only down 4 points. 1 basis point down on the day. The movers today on the upside, understandably, financials, 1.16% firmer, given what the Rand's doing. Healthcare had a good day today as well, 1.22%. On the downside, technology shares a little bit weaker, but 0.1. Industrials were 0.45% weaker. Energy also down almost 1%. And utilities had a tough day, so that was down 2.5%. And value traded, which is kind of boring. I don't know why it's so low, but 19.69 billion value traded. So still very thin volumes.
Yeah, Lindsay, just before you guys finish, I've got here on my screen, this is year-to-date returns of emerging market currencies. And you might find it interesting to know that the South African Rand and the Chilean Peso are the only two currencies.
The mighty Peso.
The mighty Peso are the only two currencies year-to-date up against the dollar. Turkish Lira down 8, Thai Baht down 5. Indian rupee down 3, Russian ruble down 2. We're definitely an outlier at the moment. So,
I did also hear, as you comment about those other EM currencies, that the Turkish lira is untradeable at the moment. They've stopped sort of capital flows there. So you can't trade the Turkish lira as an EM basket. I mean, Russian ruble is under a lot of pressure with Putin. I just see the sanctions being introduced today as well by the Biden administration. So it kind of like leaves the Rand really as the most liquid tradable currency left. So let's not bash the Rand.
So there is the Indian rupee. There is the Brazilian real. I mean, yes, your argument's a good one, but out of a number of like about 20 different currencies I'm looking at here, only two of them in the black. beer. And
see, Williams will be as soon as we open up, I can come visit you. It's going to be under 20 to the pound. Here we go.
Mexican peso, Philippine peso. Are we saying now that you can't buy any other emerging market currency except the rand? That's an interesting view. But here we have it.
Famous last words. And just as we finish, the S&P futures are 41.51. Extraordinary. The high was 41.59 just a few minutes ago as we started this conversation, actually. But anyway, the S&P is up 0.8%. Long may this continue, but be careful when someone wants to buy a pair of stinky shoes for $1 million. Dollars. That was the 5 o'clock shadow, double-headed Dream Team edition with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth and also Joanne Bainham from Sterling Private Wealth from Johannesburg and Cape Town, respectively. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.